say, oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, the angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, Jesus is the God we serve. Jesus is the God we serve. Oh, the angels bow before Him. Heaven and earth adore Him. Jesus is the God we serve. Oh, yes, Jesus is the God we serve. Oh, Jesus is the God we serve.
The angels bow before Him.
Heaven and earth adore Him. Jesus is the God we serve. Praise the Lord. Amen. Exodus chapter 2. Beginning to read there at verse number 1 is where I'd like to turn your attentions. Thank you, musicians. Amen. God is good all of the time. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, people say that, but man, you got to really know it. Yeah, from way down deep inside. Amen. Praise the Lord. Exodus chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. Let me read there. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Everybody knows who I'm talking about, I think. Amen. Moses. The title of my message is Identifying with the People of God. It's a kind of a different little Bible study I have tonight. But we need to identify ourselves with the people of God. That's who I am. That's where I belong. And that's where I will always be. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask even now in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, that you would give anointing, Lord, both as the word is read, that you would give anointing to us. I pray that you would anoint my words, God, that you would anoint this service, God, that you'd open our hearing, Lord, that you'd touch our hearts. Help us, Lord, to identify with the people of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Identifying with the people of God. Amen. Now, most people that know anything about the Bible, if you've even went to Sunday school, you've had stories about Moses, and most people could tell you something about him. But what I'd like to do tonight is just point out some of the fantastic things that God did in his life that he might be a part of God's people, that he might be used by God. Amen. Let me continue reading, this time from the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse number 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians attempting to do were drowned. Again, another reading. Short one this time. Acts chapter 7, verse number 22. And 23, Acts 7, 22 and 23. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Moses is an example. He's more than that, though. He's a type. He is both the type of Jesus Christ and a type of what our walk with God should be, a type of things to come. He didn't have it easy all the time. In fact, there were times, if you would really think about it, he was put in what seemed like impossible situations. Amen. Seems like there is nothing that he could do to fix it. Amen. Anybody ever felt like that? I've been there. Praise the Lord. In leaving the riches of Pharaoh's palace for his people, Moses demonstrated his faith in God, that his people were destined for greater riches. Now that's saying a lot because of the place that he held in the palace. The son of Pharaoh's daughter. So he was royalty in Egypt. See, Moses, from that young age, was raised in Pharaoh's house, and he was trained in all of the knowledge and the wisdom, all of the learning that the civilization of the Egyptians had advanced in, and it was an advanced civilization for their day, and he undoubtedly would have had, you know, the best of the best education in the secular realm of his day. Amen. But that was not the only learning that he had. You see, when he was young, he had the influence of his mother. Amen. Because of that learning that he had as a young child, he was motivated by influences in that early period of his life. It was extremely significant because it shaped who he would become. Moses forsook his claim to royalty. And he forsook the life of living in a palace, that of leisure, fame, riches. He laid all that down. And you know what? God honored the faith and the humility of Moses. It made him a great leader in Israel. Through the leadership of Moses, God broke the shackles of slavery for his people. Amen. By faith, the Bible says, Moses, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. The world does have things to offer. And a whole lot of people enjoy the things of the world. But I've got to measure what the world has to offer with what God has to offer. Amen. Do I want to live in the pleasures and the sinfulness of the world? Or do I want to seek after and follow Jesus Christ? Amen. You know, it may seem that those that are in the world find happiness. You know what? In Jesus Christ, I am happier than I ever was living in the world. Amen. I have found happiness living for God. In the world, some find riches. You know what? God provides my every need. God provides. Now, there's wants that you and I don't have. But everything I need, God provides for me. Amen. And then if you look beyond the present and you look to the future, you know what? My future is bright in Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know where my wife found it, but there's this little wooden carving. It's got a saying on it. What is it? The best is yet to come? Something. What's the first part of that? Anyway. The best, you know, my life is good. Very good. I am blessed. But the best part hadn't arrived yet. Amen. The best part is yet to come. Amen. Let's say, grow old with me. The best is yet to come. See, my dream is coming true. When you're 19-year-old and you got love sparkle in your eye. Anyway. We've been growing old and things are good. But the best is yet to come. Amen. Praise the Lord. Godly leadership. It was needed then, and it is needed right now in our world. Amen. You know, I've shared the vision of our church many times. And I'll share it again. I'm going to share it again and again and again. I want to keep the vision in front of our people. You know, that God wants to do in this church what he's done in, what he did in Bristol. You know, he's going to do even more. He's going to plant new churches. You know, to plant new churches, you got to have new pastors. You got to have new leaders. Amen. You know, the vision of, it is not in my vision that I would be the only leader of this church. That is absolutely false. That cannot. That would be a failure. You know, if I'm the only leader that this church sees, then that would be horrible. That would be terrible. But you know what? God is going to raise up people to believe in Him. Amen. Can you believe in God? In what God can do? Amen. Moses was needed in his day. We need Christian leaders, even yet today, who will sacrifice of their time and of their talents and give themselves wholly to the work of the Lord. Amen. That will give themselves to understanding scriptures and to knowing God. Amen. You know, and it doesn't matter how long you've been in church. Amen. We can still know more of God. He is inexhaustible. Amen. There is forever more of God to have in our lives. Amen. God empowers individuals that will believe in Him. For the benefit of the church, for the benefit of our society. Even, get this now, for the benefit of government. Amen. Amen. Now, I did not vote for Mr. Biden, but it is my obligation to pray for him. I pray that God would help him to lead this country righteously. We should pray for our leaders. Amen. I hope you pray for me. Praise the Lord. Christian leaders manifest a servant's heart, willing to lay aside self-glorification and pride. We got to lay down our own stuff, our own carnality, our own fleshly desires, our own will. We got to lay it down on the altar of sacrifice to God. Godly leaders, like shepherds, go before the people, providing appropriate direction, the appropriate leadership and guidance. A leader in the kingdom of God is not driving. It's not like driving cattle. You don't take your whip out and force them to go somewhere. No. In the kingdom of God, leaders need to go there first. We need to have a relationship with God first. And then get people to follow us toward Jesus Christ. Amen. Moses was preserved by the providence of God and reared in a royal palace where he learned leadership. You know, that in that environment of royalty teaches those individuals to lead. I believe Moses was taught from young to 40 in leadership in Egypt. He learned about leadership as well as other skills. He learned the knowledge of their day. He learned how to deal with authority and how to help people. And he learned things there in Egypt. I believe it was also a molding of his mind, of his will, of his knowledge. But he left Egypt as a refugee. He left and lived like a nomad in the desert. And he was learning then the ways of a shepherd. Again, forming and leading him, showing him by example. It was forming his character. Yes, he had left the palace, but he was still learning. He was still being led. He was still learning things that were going to be important in his life. God has brought you a mighty long way. Every one of us, you could touch every forehead all around this whole place. Every one of us, God has brought a mighty long way. Amen. He's taught you things. He's taught you how to do certain things. He has helped you to understand things. And you know, none of it is for naught. Even the bad things I have remembrance of in my life teaches me I don't want to go there no more. I don't want to do that again. Right? Help somebody that is in that case. I've been there. I came out of it, and you can too. Amen. Egypt and the desert prepared Moses for the call of God upon his life. Under the leadership of Moses, God brought Israel all of the way from Egypt to the border of Canaan land. God used Moses for a particular purpose in the time frame of God's people. Through faith, through obedience to the call of God, we too can be significant in this time, in our day, in the church right now. We can be led by God for that a great deliverance from every, and it doesn't matter what you need deliverance from. God can use His people for deliverance from the chains of bondage. And man, there are all kinds of bondages in the world. And God wants to set us free from those chains of sin. Doesn't matter what it is. God is able. There's nothing too hard for God. Nothing. See, we must humble ourselves and offer ourselves wholly, unreservedly, and completely to God. See, Moses was a chosen leader. He had three time frames or dimensions, if you will, in the life of Moses. Three phases of his life that God used to mold characteristics within him. The first 40 years in Egypt, he was learning that he was somebody. Royalty in the household of Pharaoh. In the upper echelons of society. And while living in that life, while he was considered to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter, royalty in Egypt, great authority and power and promise, he was somebody. And then, another 40 years he spent in the desert. You know, things can change really quickly. Things changed overnight, in a day, for Moses. He was on top of the society, and then he was running for his life. He tried to help, made a mistake, killed an Egyptian, and then he was wanted for murder. He was running for his life. Good place to hide. Pharaoh never found him there. In the backside of the desert, watching sheep. Those 40 years in the desert, he was learning that he was nobody. He was learning that he was trying to be invisible. He didn't want anybody to know that he was there. He was trying to live under the radar, if you will. Undetected. That nobody would find me. And he did. He was somebody. Then he was nobody. 40 years and 40 years. And then there's another set of 40 years as Israel's leader. During this period, he was learning what God could do with a nobody. What God can do when he didn't think he could do it. Amen. You see, Moses had divine protection. Moses because there's a lot of reading about Moses. But let me read just a little bit. Exodus chapter 3. Beginning at verse number 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. You know, some people just come to the house of God because they heard about what's going on. Well, my friend goes to church there and she's invited me a whole bunch of times. Or my friend goes there and he said I should come and maybe I'll just go and check it out. Moses was just going to see what is going on over there. You know, when you go and look to find out what's going on in a move of God, maybe he didn't even know that it was a move of God. There's people that are going to come into this house, into this church, and they're going to feel and experience much more than they had anticipated before they arrived. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is going to do something very special in their lives because that's God's way. God wants to change hearts and change minds and touch lives. And He is a miracle working God. Yes, He can and will heal your body. Yes, He does deliver. Yeah, He will help. He does all those things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Moses had divine protection. Amen. I believe that God has protected my life. I believe God is protecting your life. Amen. I believe God has brought you to this place to be here today. Amen. There's yet more to come. He had divine protection. As I was just reading, when he was born, a son, he, just being a male, was causing him a death sentence. All the males were to be killed in his day. He came under the death law of Pharaoh. Moses' mother hid him 3 months. His protection soon extended to the... It brought him to the palace of Pharaoh. And this is a miracle in itself right here. Who was Moses' caretaker, nurse, if you will? His mother. You know, when she found the servant went out there and got that little basket and brought it in and opened it up. The baby's crying. God worked that thing in that woman's heart. And oh, isn't that baby cute? It must be one of the Hebrews' children. Well, I'll just take that baby for my own. That baby's been abandoned. Nobody wanted that baby. You know, she took that baby to save his life. Amen. God's protection was on Moses. When I look back, it was this last August, this last month. It was the 50th year of my receiving the Holy Ghost. August the 7th. 50 years. Here I was, a young man. Awesome stuff. Amen. God had His hand on me way back then. And God's got His hand on me right now. Amen. I have very, extremely high confidence. God is not going to leave me forsaken. God is not going to forsake me. Amen. He will keep me in His hand. He will help me all along the way. Amen. Praise the Lord. Moses' own mother became his nurse. Probably for a number of years, as she was nursing, caring for, training that small child. You know what? Here's a really important little exclamation point. You can put in your children stuff that will last the rest of their life. If you're privileged to be living for God and you have small children, it is a high honor afforded you by God that you can train that child to know who God is. Now, I know there's people that come to God when they're older, and there's been people come to God in old age here, and praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, that happens. But what a marvelously fantastic thing it is to instill in children, in our own children, or in children that we have the privilege to influence. Those that come to Sunday school or to children's church, or those that will come to the children's revival, the children's crusade that we're going to have here at this church, the Connecticut District Children's Crusade, will be here on the 20th of next month. I hope you'll come, because God is going to influence kids in a spectacular, wonderful way. That influence will last the rest of their lives. Moses' mother trained him, put things in him as a small child. And God worked His providence in Moses' life right inside the palace in Egypt. You know what? God can work anywhere. If God could put godly principles, godly lifestyle, godly living, faith in Almighty God in a child living in the palace in Egypt, He can do it anywhere. This was a long time ago. We had a church service back when Brother McLaughlin was pastor of this church. We had a Native American ministry service in Foxwoods Resort Casino. The general superintendent of the United Pentecostal Church preached on Friday night. I believe it was Friday. But he preached one of the services. Six people received the gift of the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues at that service. Amen. Including the war chief, Stan Harris, of the Mashantucket Pequot tribe. God can do anything, anywhere. You mean God can move in the Holy Ghost at Foxwoods? Now everybody in here knows what that is. I tell you, God is not hindered by anything. He can do anything He wants, any place He wants. Amen. Praise the Lord. Moses had a godly mother. In the life of almost every noble leader, there can be found strong influences of the family. His mother, Jochebed, was the primary influence in his early years. Jochebed taught Moses the ways of God. He instilled in him the beliefs and the qualities that would shape his life. Her influence prepared his heart so that God could use him. Moses, he learns to be identified with God's people. He knows who he is and where he belongs. You see, every individual, you got to set in your heart, where is it that I belong? Where will I reside? What will be my priorities? You get to set all of that yourself. I can't do it for you. I can't make you do anything. You got to choose to serve God or you won't serve God. Jochebed taught Moses about God. Instilled in him the beliefs and the qualities. And certainly it shaped his life. He spied after the first 40 years, Egypt. The next 40 years ended up being in the desert. The day, right in between those two, Moses spied, or he saw an Egyptian hitting one of the Hebrews. And Moses knew that that's my brethren. So he took it upon himself. I'm going to intervene. I'm going to stop that from happening. I can understand that feeling. I can understand the motive that he had was to help the Hebrew man. And he was going to stop that Egyptian. He hit him. I don't believe he meant to kill him, but he did. Regardless, the Egyptian died. After he slayed that Egyptian, he tried to hide it. All right, you're okay. I'll take care of this. You go your way. I'm making that up. I don't know what they said. The Bible didn't tell what the conversation was between the Egyptian and Moses. But the next day, we're going to kill me. There was a fight between two Hebrews. He came out there again. Man, brothers, what are you doing fighting? You're brothers. Were you going to kill me like you did the Egyptian yesterday? Uh-oh. Oh, I think the word's gotten out. Okay, the bad news. Man, did you see that Egyptian ruler kill the guard? His name was Moses. Perhaps everybody, or it was known among the people. Soon it's going to be known and to Pharaoh. Certainly, it would be a death sentence. Running for his life, changed everything. Spent 40 years in the backside of the wilderness, tending sheep. But during those 40 years, Moses lived in the desert of Midian. He married Zipporah. Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, he was the priest of Midian. You see, he didn't get completely away from God. He lived with the priest of Midian. And Jethro greatly influenced Moses. Then came the call of God from that burning bush that we just read. Moses could see the bush was not consumed, and he heard the audible voice. And God was sending Moses to deliver Israel from Egypt, to lead them to the promised land, to help to deliver God's people. You know, God is going to do great and mighty things. God really is going to deliver. God really does save. God really is going to do the miraculous. But just as he did then in the Bible with Moses, God is going to use people to do his will. Amen. God wants to use you. God's going to use me. Amen. Praise the Lord. It opened the door for another entire era in his life. That call of God upon him. When we experience the call of God in our life, it sets us in a new era, in a new time frame in our lives. You see, we can't mix. We can't live in the world and live for God at the same time. We got to do one or the other. It's impossible to be successful at either of them, living on both sides. God was sending Moses, of course, to be used to deliver Egypt from bondage. Deliver Israel from Egypt, from their bondage, to lead them, to lead God's people to the promised land. You see, the promised land was given to Abraham. It was given a long time ago. You know, we have promises from God that were given a long time ago that we are headed toward, that we are going to receive, that we are going to see with our own eyes. Moses doubted that he could accomplish such a mighty deed. I can't even talk good. I'm not eloquent. I don't have good speech. I don't have good grammar. I can't do it. You know, there's some of us. I am completely and utterly amazed. You know, in sixth grade, I was in advanced math, highest math class in the sixth grade, and I was in the lowest reading class in the sixth grade. I was good with numbers, man. I could do trigonometry in sixth grade. But, man, I struggled with spelling and reading and It's simply incredible that God chose me to do what I do. Amen. It seems like it's an utter impossibility. Maybe not to you. Oh, Pastor, you've been doing it. I like your preaching. In fact, someone told me today, I like your preaching. Well, I'm glad you like it, but every single bit of it is from God. Every single piece of it is because God gave it and helped me to say it. Amen. It's just a miracle. And God can use you. Maybe you stutter. Maybe you don't talk good. But God can use you. Amen. To subside the worries of Moses, he gave him a helper. Amen. God will help you overcome your difficulties. God gave him Aaron to be his mouthpiece. God would speak to Moses, and Moses would speak to Aaron, and Aaron would tell Pharaoh. It was down the chain of command. Moses answered the call, get this, immediately. You know, when God calls you, just do what he says. Just obey God's leading. Just do what God wants you to do. God performed many miracles and brought, you know the stories, the 10 plagues. Again and again and again, they went before Pharaoh, and again, Pharaoh refused, and something bad happened. A plague took place over and over and over and over, accumulating in the death of the firstborn son in every family in all the land. From the maid that lived behind the mill to Pharaoh's house. Moses guided the Israelites to freedom. He led them out of Egypt through a miraculous hand and deliverance from God. The Red Sea parted. I've read some ridiculous things that they walked through the Reed Sea and it was ankle deep water. Well, then how did the chariots drown? How did the chariot drivers drown in ankle deep water? No, it wasn't the Reed Sea. It was the Red Sea, and there was a wall of water on every side. It was a miracle at the hand of God. Just say it like it is. God is in the miracle working business. Moses was a proven leader. It's one thing to be called of God, but it's another thing to be chosen as a leader of the people of God. Moses had a loyalty to the people and to God. Amen. He shared the burdens of the Israelites. He sought their deliverance from Egypt. He made intense effort. He made it his personal objective to do it. By faith, he went before Pharaoh time and time again, over and over. It was not an easy battle. Moses remained steadfast in this belief in the promise of God. He knew that God was going to deliver the people. God gave Moses and the people of Israel victory. And they marched out of Egypt with the wealth of Egypt and gained their deliverance from slavery when they passed through the Red Sea. It was a life-changing experience. God is doing life-changing experiences yet today. Amen. God is still delivering people that changes their life yet today. Moses, in following God, became the lawgiver. Moses proved his spiritual leadership by approaching God at Sinai. Moses fasted 40 days and met with God that he might hear God's voice. You know, that's an example to us. You want to really know what God's will is? Well, have you asked him? Pastor, what should I do? Well, you need to ask God first. And then you need to seek his face. You need to pray. It should include fasting and prayer and seeking after God. He wanted to hear and know God's voice. And at Sinai, there was a covenant. The word of the Lord is essential to the lives of any people who desire the blessings of God. Moses came down from the mountainside, as you know, with those tablets of stone, written with the finger of God. He gave to the people the law, the word of the Lord. Successful leaders, they have to have a time to get alone with God. There has to be a time where you and God have communion, have closeness, have a time together. It's good to worship God and pray and have an experience in church, but I hope church isn't the only place that you talk to God. It's got to be more than just, you know, an hour and a half on Sunday and an hour and a half on Wednesday. If that's all the church or all the time with God that you have, well, then you are deficient in time with God. We need to spend time with God. God gives spiritual guidance, and he also gives courage. God is going to give us the necessities of what we need to have to do his will. The new nation, God promised Israel that he would make them a holy nation. I've read in some estimates that there were some 600,000 males of 20 years old and upward when they came out of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea. Estimated, I don't know if this is accurate or not, at least 2 million people. Some, I've read, say it could have been as many as 6 million. But either way, it was like all the people in all of Connecticut going at one time. Just a mass of people going through the Red Sea. But you know what? It takes more than a population to make a nation. They needed to have an identity. They needed to belong. They needed a geographical location. They were to become a holy nation. It is the will of God to have a people who will worship and obey him. There is going to be a church. Amen. Really, the question is, are we going to be a part of it? Are we going to answer the call? A people that could bless and use for his glory in bringing a witness for the people of our world. The people would be identified as the people of God. I'll tell you what. We need to be identified with Jesus Christ. Amen. God said he would give them the land promised to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. That they were to fulfill the promises of God. Moses was also an intercessor. The most outstanding single characteristic of Moses as the leader of Israel, his life of prayer and intercession before the Lord. Moses got really mad when he came down. He was just coming down from Mount Sinai. He had those stone tablets in his hand. I imagine him very carefully walking with those heavy tablets. And he was under a great burden. But he was delivering to the people that the commandments written by the finger of God. He had something great for the people. He had just had an experience with God on the mount with God. And what did he see? A golden calf? What is that thing? You know, they took the earrings and they took the gold that they took out of Egypt and they melted it down. And I don't know exactly how this. Aaron said, well, then this calf came out. Oh, I think some people had a hand in that calf coming out. But regardless, the people were, you know, he'd been up there 40 days and they didn't know if Moses was dead. He'd been gone so long, nobody heard from him. He just disappeared. Where'd he go? And we need a God. So they made their own. How quickly people go bad. You know, it doesn't take very long to get tied up in sin. It doesn't take very long to get tied up in a mess in the world. When Moses saw that, it disturbed him. You know, he broke the tablets. He threw them down. They shattered in pieces. And he tore that thing up and ground it to powder. Get rid of that thing! Threw it in the water and made him drink it. Man, he was so mad. But he interceded. Yeah, he tried to get the... He rebelled against the sin. He tried to get the people to do right. God was going to blot them all out and start all over. God was just going to erase the slate and... We'll start with you, Moses. God, save them. Deliver them. Help them. God, if you won't help this people, then blot my name out of your book. Just take my life too. Just this, do me in also. God, if you'll forgive them, God will do anything you say. You know, there's got to be a time that we are intercessors. There's got to be a time that we intervene on the behalf of our loved ones. Yeah, maybe they get caught up in the world and sin. And maybe they need us to intercede. God, save their lives. Bring them in. Open their mind. Give them revelation. Help them, God, to know you. We have to intercede. He did. Moses did. He was the intercessor. And he was the reconciler. Moses. Because Moses followed after God, he typified Jesus Christ in very many ways. The tabernacle that was in the wilderness, every piece of that thing typified Jesus Christ. Every portion of the effort that was made to making that elaborately detailed instruction and place of worship, there was the altar of sacrifice. You know, there is no salvation without the sacrifice. You can't even enter into the tabernacle unless you bring a sacrifice. You can't begin until there's a sacrifice. Jesus Christ is our sacrifice. He fulfilled the place of the sacrificial lamb. There was the altar of sacrifice. There was a laver of water. You know, if the priests went to minister in the tabernacle and they tried to, or by mistake, if they forgot to wash, they would die. It was a type of our salvation. There was a necessity for the priests to wash at the laver. You know, this baptismal tank, it was so beautiful on Sunday. It was so wonderful when a soul is baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, for sins that are washed away. There is a necessity for water still. It's a part of the plan of God. Has been, even from Moses until now. Water is required for the plan of redemption. There was a golden candlestick. You see, the golden candlestick, yes, it's precious. It was made of pure gold, a beaten work, and it was made of one piece of gold. A beautifully beaten work. And it was hollow inside, and they filled it with oil. And the oil was to burn and give light in the tabernacle. You see, Jesus Christ is that golden light that lights our way. Amen. And there was also the table of showbread in the tabernacle. The place, you know, we need the bread of life, the Word of God. We need to have and know what the Word of God says. If the only place you get it is on Sunday and on Wednesday, you're not getting enough of the Word. The table of showbread, the Word of God, the bread of life is still a necessity today. And then there was the altar of incense before the veil. The incense filled the tabernacle. You see, it is meant to be that our praises fill this house with praise, with worship unto the Lord God Almighty. It's still a part of the practice of the redemption plan for God. And then beyond the veil was the holiest of holies, where resided the Ark of the Covenant. You see, it was the representation of the very presence of God in the nation of Israel. In the tabernacle in the wilderness. When they were on their journey, during the daytime there was a pillar of fire. Or at night there was a pillar of fire. And then in the daytime there was a pillar of a cloud. From far away, the millions of people all around would know where the Ark of God was. And if God was moving, if the fire moved or the pillar moved, they would disassemble all of the tabernacle and it was portable and they would follow after God. You know, we need to be able, it's still essential that we follow God. It was a type and the pattern of redemption. Through the rent veil. When Jesus died on the cross at Calvary, the veil, which was 4 inches thick, a woven work, a single piece from top to bottom, rent. From the top to the bottom. When Jesus was crucified. And now, the path was clear to get to the very presence of God. Amen. God made a way. Jesus Christ is that deliverance. He is that redemption. Stand with me. I'm closing right here. The plan of redemption, the Acts 2:38 message, what we preach in this church every week. You know, I'm still not tired of it. It still thrills my soul. It's still exciting to see what God does. The plan of redemption that He established way back there in the tabernacle with Moses in the wilderness, that type is still well in order today. The plan of redemption, the atonement for sins, the sins of all of mankind, was with Jesus Christ. God provided Himself, Jesus Christ, the sacrifice. Amen. Would you love Him with me? Lord, I love You. I thank You. Lord, we're asking, Lord, that You would help us, Jesus, to identify with You. That by Your Word we would have direction, Lord. That by Your Spirit You would lead us. Lord, that You would help us, Lord, to serve You. Thank You, God, for all that You've done in our lives. And Lord, I pray that You would continue, Lord, to lead us. Lead us, God, in the paths of righteousness. Help us, God, to serve You. Thank You, Lord, for Your favor. Lord, I want to be like You. Thank You, Lord, for all that You've done. Lord, all that You're doing. Thank You, God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Lord, I worship You. I praise Your name. I worship You. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Identify with the people of God. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.